Rockies 102.9, The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew exhilarates and quenches with its one-of-a-kind great taste. Mountain Dew, this is how we do.
What's your favorite been so far, Carrie?
Ooh, breaking your ribs on the bird bath was pretty interesting because I like the husband and wife team at the doctor's office for that. I enjoyed that.
She was more worried about the bird bath too, right?
A little bit. That's what you get out of it.
Because it was the second one that he had broken.
Right.
We don't know how the first one got broken. The second one, we know he fell on falling off a ladder.
I don't know. It's the one that stands out to me, but I don't know if it's my favorite. It's so hard to choose.
This is the final round of your home destruction stories. You've sent them in. Brian's been going through them. If it gets read in this, like I said, last round, it's your final chance to win the grand prize, $1,000 in prizes from Steinhoffels and Colleen Horner Design Studio at Horner Plumbing.
All right, here we go. When I was a kid in the early 70s, my parents decided to put up a basketball hoop. This wasn't any fancy pole-mounted hoop like everyone has today. It was just put up over the garage. My parents made a great DIY team, so they went up on the roof, got the hoop positioned, and then realized they needed something from the hardware store to finish the job.
Was great in quotes?
No, I think he really means it.
He really thought they
work well together. Yeah, there's no, I don't detect any sarcasm here.
Good.
The hardware store in Sturtevant was only a few minutes away, so my dad decided to go for it. My mom was never a big woman. She probably weighed 110 pounds soaking wet, but she was strong. So she held the hoop in place up on the roof while my dad went for his quick hardware store run.
Okay, got it. Wow, that's some core.
I'll be back in 45 minutes. Yeah. Don't let it go.
Right. Okay. You can't just rest it next to you on the roof?
How about a nail or something, you know, to keep it in place.
Wow.
All right, Margaret, I'll be back.
I don't even have to read the rest of this. My dad is one of those guys who runs into somebody he knows everywhere he goes.
There it is.
Sure enough, he ran into a buddy at the hardware store. They got to talking, and the buddy had just built the garage, so it sounded like a good idea for my dad to stop over and see it after he finishes at the hardware store. Sometime and a couple of beers later, it dawned on my dad that he had left my mom on the roof holding the basketball hoop.
Oh, this is grounds for
you know what. The absent-minded husband.
There were fumes at the time, but these years later, they can laugh about it. So, no divorce.
You left me on the roof to have beer.
She couldn't have just, well, she might have let the hoop slide off.
She said her mom was strong.
Right. Yeah, how strong?
How long? That's like a survivor challenge.
Right. It's like planking for 9 minutes. Try it.
We were starting to finish our basement, and a neighbor commented, Jerry the handyman, the neighbor recommended Jerry the handyman to do some of the preliminary work to save money. I called Jerry, and he came out and gave us an estimate. He seemed like a nice older guy, so I gave him a check for 50% down, $1,500. He said he'd bring his tools in, get set up, and be back first thing in the morning to get started. Next day, no Jerry. After 2 weeks of calling Jerry three times per day and no contact, we were still a bit concerned.
A bit.
We figured there must be some reasonable explanation because he had left his tools when he set up for the project. He would have to get it figured out after we would have to get it figured out after our week-long family vacation. So he's there. He's got all his stuff. He's left it. They can't get a hold of him. They're going on vacation. Fast forward 1 week, and we just got back from a vacation when at 7:30 at night, our doorbell rang. I opened the door, and to my family's surprise, there were two sheriff's deputies who announced loudly I was being investigated for the theft of a contractor's tool, a felony.
Wow! Jerry! Jerry's a tough old nut.
After I nervously explained the situation to the officers while my wife was calmly telling my two frightened young daughters that Daddy probably would not be arrested.
No, probably not.
The deputies left saying Jerry would be out in the morning to get his tools. I asked if they could ask Jerry about my $1,500. They said flatly I would have to deal with that.
What?
So
the?
How come?
Yeah, what? You're coming for the tools, but not my dough.
I don't understand that at all.
Maybe that's more of a, you know, like a scam. They don't cover that. They cover theft.
A court case, yeah.
Well, how is taking someone's $1,500 and giving them nothing in return not theft?
Not giving them nothing, reporting to the police that they stole your tools.
Man.
The next day, Jerry apologized for the mix-up and calling the cops and everything. He said he would do the project because he did not want to refund the $1,500. Spent it. Jerry did a couple of days of work, then became gravely ill and passed away a couple of days later.
Oh, my God.
Still have some of the tools in my garage.
Thief.
Wow.
Jerry might be the new favorite. He went on a bender for like 2 weeks and had a heart attack.
The handyman who died.
Just hold on.
I love when you say that.
Late September 2016, my wife and I bought our first house. Being 24 and 25 years old at the time, we were excited to be one of the first couples in our group of friends to buy a house. After 2 months, my wife decided she didn't like one of the cabinets in the kitchen slash dining room. I didn't think it'd be a problem to remove it because that cabinet was not attached to the rest of the cabinets. It must have been put up after the house was built. After grabbing my screwdriver and pry bar and removing the cabinet, I realized a quarter of the carpet that covered the floor in the dining room had been pulled up with the cabinet. Just seeing this, we were both hit with the overwhelming smell of urine. Knowing that the previous owners had multiple cats, I knew immediately that this must have been their favorite stop to do their business. Realizing we couldn't ignore the filthy carpet with two small children in the house, we decided it had to come out. This was Thanksgiving weekend, so I figured with 4 days off, I could get this done easily. After tearing out all the carpet in the dining room, we realized the urine was not just in that room, but in every room in the house. So much urine, in fact, that the padding under the carpet became glued to the floor and needed to be removed with a scraper. After 2 weeks, three stores completely bought out of vinyl flooring, 15 sheets of quarter-inch plywood, 5 gallons of mold-blocking primer, and $3,000 worth of new carpet. The cabinet my wife hated was gone, and every piece of flooring in the house was replaced.
Well, you should have.
Well,
you should have.
That's just part of owning a house. That's the money pit
Get
they
that
are.
Get rose carpet out of there. Yeah.
Here's one you've been waiting for. When I was about 14 years old, my youngest brother had an obsession with the toilet. He was probably 5 years old at the time. It wasn't uncommon to walk into a dark bathroom, turn on the lights, and find him standing in the toilet. My dad fixed that by flushing it while he was standing in it one time, but he still liked to flush small objects down the hole. Well, the sewer system had enough of that, and everything started to come back up out of anything with a drain. This just happened while my dad was out of town. Mom called a plumber friend, and he told her where the inspection caps were and how to check them. First cap was clear. On to the second one. I got the ever-important job of holding
the bucket
as this pipe dripped. Mom, being the most patient person in the world, decided to not take the plumber's advice to be patient and just let it drip. Figured just a little turn to get it going faster would be fine. To this day, I'm not sure why I had to hold the small 2-gallon bucket instead of setting it on the floor to catch the drips. But the last little turn was enough to get me a face full of sewage and the PVC cap to get the in the face. By the way, a 2-gallon bucket wasn't nearly a big enough bucket either. The system was now empty, and we still didn't get the clog cleared, so that meant we couldn't run any water yet. So I had to walk over to the neighbor's house covered in, you know, and my hair full of bits of toilet paper and knock on the door and ask if I could use their shower.
Oh.
Pretty sure Mom still owes me one for that.
I think we get one of those every round of home destruction stories.
Yep, it seems to be.
Yeah, that's what I said. This one you've been waiting for. And there it was.
Here, hold the bucket.
Hold the bucket.
I need
this
you.
This might drip.
Yeah, just a little. No, hang on.
Uncork this.
Well, why can't we go faster?
Sewage. All right. A couple more. A few years back, my wife and I were in the middle of remodeling our first home, a 100-year-old two-story that had the original plaster and lath walls. We were completely gutting the second floor so we could add new wiring, insulation, and drywall. Now, after a few days of removing plaster with lath and hammer, I developed a much quicker method. I would locate a wall stud and then simply cut down along it with an electric sawzall, removing plaster and lath all at once, taking careful note where the outlets and wiring were located, of course.
Of course.
I've never been accused of being all that safety conscious, and today would be no exception. It was a hot, humid afternoon in July, so naturally my safety gear consisted of a T-shirt, shorts, and perhaps a pair of protective glasses. My demolition wardrobe that day fit the weather conditions, not the job at hand, and that would be my demise. Working alone on an 8-foot stepladder, I had just finished making the first cut of a new section of wall in my with my trusty Sawzall. Needing to reposition the ladder for the next cut, I set the saw on the top step of the ladder and carefully climbed down. When I stepped off the ladder and onto the floor, I unknowingly must have caught my shoe on the dangling power cord for the saw. So when I felt something bounce off my right calf, the grave mistake I had made didn't immediately register. At least not until I had the sensation of something warm and wet on my leg.
Ugh.
Looking down on my calf, I was confronted with a deep, bloody gash grinning back at me. Through some sadistic twist of fate, the Sawzall managed to pirouette off its perch on top of the ladder and orient itself in such a manner as to cleanly slice through my leg on its way to the floor, cutting it nearly to the bone where the calf meets shin.
Look at how harmed our guests are.
Yeah. Quietly typing it all into the record.
My leg looked like something you'd see in an anatomy class. I could see muscle. I could see fatty tissue and veins. I could see some white stuff that may or may not have been tendon. So I did the only thing I could think of, scream. I screamed for my wife. I screamed for my mommy. I danced around on tiptoes. Screamed for dear sweet Jesus himself.
Why not? It doesn't cost anything.
I don't do well with blood, especially when it's mine pouring out of a 3-inch gash in my leg. My wife came running up the steps hollering, "Now, what the hell did you do?" Suffice it to say, me and my injuries are not isolated occurrences, but this one is a little worse than most than my previous ones. I couldn't speak. I was too busy watching my shoes fill with blood, and my vision was getting hazy.
I'm coming, Elizabeth.
Are you all negative?
Stopped hyperventilating long enough to allow her to wrap a tourniquet around my leg. Somehow we made it down the steps into her car. She sped me off to the emergency. After flushing and cleaning the wound, it took 2 layers of stitches, nearly 30 in all, to sew my leg back together. At least I didn't need a tetanus shot. That had been taken care of just a few weeks earlier after I stepped on a nail driving it clean into my heel.
Oh, good.
While getting the same.
Welcome back, Mr. Williams.
Yeah.
I see no tetanus shot is needed.
One more.
All right, and finally.
And finally. A group of us were at my brother-in-law's tasked with removing and chipping buckthorn bushes.
Oh, I have spent many, many hours
that
doing buckthorn. It is the worst.
Miserable work.
It is awful, evil weed.
Yeah, I had to chop into that my last house to get my get some yard.
Yep.
Ugh.
And then you have to bleach the stumps before you dig them out.
Because they
sucks.
Grow back even thicker.
So thick. So quick.
If you don't kill them, right.
Yep,
exactly.
This was 2 weeks before Thanksgiving. There were supposed to be a bunch of people, but as it was a Saturday morning with great weather, only a few showed up. And one other crew was constantly leaving the site with chainsaw issues, running out of gas, going to buy a new chain, buying the wrong size, having to go back and return it. It felt like we were not really, it felt like they were not really into the project du jour. So it was down to me and one other guy, a 10-inch electric chainsaw that would have had a tough time cutting butter, let alone this dingy, stringy, wet buckthorn. Already down a bunch of hands rather than just manning the chipper. I had to go from the front yard to the backyard, gather up the branches, drag them around, feed them in, repeat. Did I mention how stringy and wet it was? The discharge chute kept fouling up. I noticed one large piece that seemed to be the main culprit and thought I could just pick it out.
With your hand?
From a wood chipper.
Yeah.
With your teeth?
With my face,
with
right.
With your friend's hand?
I would be back in business and we could get this done. I felt the tip of my middle finger vibrate a bit and saw my glove turn red right away.
Oh, God.
Took off my glove and my finger looked like Pac-Man. I just let out a few F-bombs while I walked to the backyard. The guy who was cutting figured out something was wrong when I picked up a plastic grocery bag, put my hand into it, and told him to drive me to the ER. As he watched the bag start filling with blood, he told me he didn't do well with blood.
Oh, my God. Just drive. Look straight. Look straight.
I told him I couldn't drive, and we had to go now. Along the way, I tried to keep his mind off my finger by telling him jokes, like how mad my wife was going to be because this was her favorite. What does that mean?
This is her favorite thing. What? Yeah, stop. I'd rather talk about the blood.
Oh, so great. So great.
The ER got it irrigated, the wood pieces cleaned out and sewed up, put me on heavy antibiotics to stave off infection. The Wednesday before Thanksgiving, I started a violent bout of liquids coming out of each end. I would take my antibiotics 4 hours later, spew from various orifices, and repeat both processes. The Monday after Thanksgiving, I mentioned to my wife that I hadn't peed since Wednesday.
Oh, my God. Dehydrated.
Yeah.
Back to the ER, explained what was happening. They dropped IVs at full flow into both arms and called for a urologist. Turns out the antibiotics had crashed my GI system, taking out all the helpful bacteria as well as the bad ones. All the vomiting, et cetera, had dehydrated me so badly my kidneys were operating at 1/64th of normal volume.
Wow.
I got really concerned when the urologist asked my wife if I had sons or brothers that could be eligible donors.
Oh, man. That's worse than O negative.
2 days in the ICU, liquid started flowing again. I walked out. My victory, 30 minutes after my finger went in, the belt on the chipper broke. I won.
Oh, my God.